Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, your angelic host that's here this night walking amongst us. I'm asking, God, that you open up the spiritual ears to the people here tonight so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. Open up their hearts, Father God, wide so they can receive the seed and it can grow and produce fruit. I'm asking you, God, to be here in a mighty way tonight. Let this teaching go deep down into the spirit, man. We need to grow in you, Father. We need to hear your words that you've been given us. I'm asking for a special anointing tonight for the people to grow. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called this the armor of light, and I really want you to listen to really closely to what we're teaching here tonight. I told Brett and Nancy I was convicted putting it together, and they said, if you were convicted, what are we going to go through? Amen. There is a place of protection in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his anointing where the devil cannot get to you. I am not talking about after you go to heaven, but right here on this earth. The Apostle Paul tells us about this in Romans 13, 11, and 12. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Notice that Paul thought it was very important for us to put on this protection. He said this is no uncertain, he said this in no uncertain terms. Wake up, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Armor is something that covers not just one side like a shield. It is a full suit of protection that covers the front, the back, the sides, and the top. When we have on this armor, we are completely covered. But we all know that in many cases, believers are finding themselves subject to the works of darkness. They are suffering from the same demonic attacks as unbelievers. They are getting sick, their marriage is being ravaged by divorce, and they are walking in fear like everyone else. It is sad to say, but these kinds of things are happening to some Christians, even though they are confessing the promises of God's protection. Questions: how can that be? How is it that the enemy can get through a believer's line of protection? It can happen if a person is violating a higher law than the promises he or she is confessing. And Paul tells us exactly what that violation is in the verses preceding what we just read. Romans 13, 9 and 10. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. Love, when it is exercised and allowed to be perfected in our lives, flushes out fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. But if we violate the love commandment, the enemy will quickly run around our confessions of protection. He can even kill us. I said, if we violate the love commandment, the enemy will quickly run around our confessions of protection. He can even kill us. How? When we violate that commandment, fear enters in and the light withdraws. When the light withdraws, we are without our armor. We are spiritually naked. To violate the love command is to go against our true reborn nature and authority. To violate the love command is to go against our true reborn nature and authority. That is why 2 Corinthians 4:6 is so thrilling to the believer. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." When the earth was without form and void and filled with chaos, God said, "Light be." He pulled that command out of his innermost being and instantly caused the image of this universe that was on the inside of him to be slung at the speed of light into being. Love spoke it. Light himself said, "And it was so." And the same God who said, "Light be," has shined in our hearts. Love himself has shined in our hearts. The greatest power in the universe has been born in us, which is love, and is standing ready to be turned loose in our lives. Now, I want to stop there. You know, we profess to be children of God, but yet our foundation is not love. We watch people in here, and when the services are over, we watch their reactions to one another, and it sure isn't love. There's hate being thrown at one another, you know, words that should never be said are being said right in the very house of God. So right then and there, you're open, wide open for the enemy to come and to steal, kill, and destroy. Because if you were really walking in love, you wouldn't say and do the things that you do still in the house of God. All right. I feel sorry when I see two people standing and one of them's really being ignorant to the other. I think, how can you do that? When you just worship the Father, you just heard, you know, a message, and then you come up here and lay down on the floor, and then you get up and you're ignorant to somebody. How can you do that? You're not born again. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not born again. You're not walking in love. Because God has told us love is the foundation. Without love, you cannot be God's child. You have to love unconditionally. All right? All right, armed from the inside out, excuse me, for us to experience all that God has planned for us, it is absolutely vital we keep the love command before our every thought and action. Only then can we exercise dominion over those things that would pull us back into darkness. Let's read that again. It is absolutely vital we keep the love command before our every thought and action. Only then can we exercise dominion over those things that would pull us back into darkness. John the Apostle of Love said it this way in 1 John 1:7-10. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here we are given the key to the declaration the Apostle Paul made in Romans 6:14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Period. We walk in dominion over sin the same way Jesus did. And John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus satisfied the whole law and never sinned. He took the hundreds, even thousands of commandments and boiled them down to two. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. People don't do that. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. People don't do that. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Until you get the love walk down, you might as well forget anything else. You know, you can anoint with oil, you can do communion, you can do anything you want to, stand on your head and sing Dixie, whatever you want to do. But if you don't have your love commandment, a love walk down, you're not going to do anything for God. He tells us that over and over and over again in his word. Jesus kept all the law by keeping the greatest law, the law of love. Sloppy love won't cut it here. Don't you see a lot of sloppy love in the churches all over the world? People pretending to be something they're not, acting out. This isn't talking about loving others just when you feel like it. It is not saying you can love God 1 minute, then turn around and hate your brother. See that? It is not saying you can love God 1 minute, then turn around and hate your brother. 1 John 2:9 says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And then 1 John 4:21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I'm in some hot water here. I have come to the point I hate perversion. I hate lust with a passion. And my grace and my mercy, I think, has left me in those areas. Because when I see it, I got instantly mad last night, if you notice, right at the end of the service, because I saw something that just jerked my jaws. And I said, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. You're going to have to do something about this lust and perversion. Do something in me or do something. Let me not look at it and see it for what it really is, something very, very vulgar and arrogant and ignorant. I'm having trouble with this right now. And I told Brett and Nancy, I'm having trouble with my love walk right now in that area. Let me put it this way. I cannot deal with people who have sat in the house of God, maybe all their life, raised in the house of God, sat in the house of God year after year after year, and still sin. That really does bother me. Especially when you sit under the anointing. Especially when you come up here and go out in the spirit and say God ministered to you. How can you still sin? I'm really having a rough time with that. I don't know if it's just me or if it's God in me. I don't know what it is. Are you listening? I still love my brothers and sisters, but I really cannot stand it. If you're in perversion, you know, I still pray for you. And I ask God, please don't let me go to hell over this. That, you know, God gave me a prophetic word that pornography was going to be done away with yesterday. And thank God for that. You know, it's an answer to my prayer. I don't know about you. But, and see, I was never into perversion. I wasn't, you know, I didn't know. I was really innocent when God called me into the ministry. And then when I found out what perversion was all about, you know, things started happening in here. It blew my mind. I'm going to be honest. It blew my mind. I didn't know people lived like that. I really didn't. And then as I was around it more and more and more, I just couldn't believe how people could degrade themselves to that level, you know, and call themselves a child of God. Now, I expect that from the world. I hear a lot of that in the world. But I never expect it in the house of God. I expect somewhere along the line, you're working at getting yourself free. But while you're working getting yourself free, you're not involving others into your mess, you know. We have enough problems without having you bring your filth into the house of God. And I don't say don't come in the house of God if you're trying to get cleaned up. If you're just sitting here year after year after year and nothing's changing, I'm saying you're not really trying to get set free, because God told me they like their sin. They like what the sin does for them. So I'm not saying anything that God hasn't spoken to me. So I'm really having a hard time in my love box, what I'm trying to tell you in that area. All right. This is talking about loving on purpose. And I really have to love on purpose right now. A lot of people have to love on purpose because of what they're doing and saying they're children of God. All the time, it is a commandment. This is talking about loving on purpose. All the time, it is a commandment. We have to love. I mean, God commands us to love. And the reason it is a commandment is to keep us in the armor of light where the enemy can't get to us. What does darkness have to do in the presence of light? It must flee. Resist the devil and he must flee every time. I don't have any problem fighting the devil. He goes when I tell him to go. But I'm just having a problem right now with the body of Christ, who bring their perversion into the house of God and are not trying to get rid of it. I'm having a hard time with that. Walking in the armor. John walked in this armor. And according to church tradition, the Roman government could not kill the apostle of love. They boiled him in oil, but he just wouldn't die. He was in the armor of light. Neither could they kill the Apostle Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Remember, he is also the guy who wrote Hebrews 11:25. It says, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So then, clothed in the armor of light, Paul willingly, just like Jesus, willingly offered up his own life for a better resurrection. You know, I read the scriptures, I said, that's the same thing Jesus did. They couldn't kill Jesus until the time. They couldn't kill Paul till his time was up. You see this? 2 Timothy 4:6 says, for I am ready, already being poured out as a, this is Paul speaking, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul said, I'm giving my life up. It's my time to go. And he wasn't sad about it. In that armor, Jesus was taken to the brow of a hill by an angry crowd in his own hometown. They were threatening to push him over the side of the cliff. The next thing we know is, let's read, this is what happened in Luke 4:28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust Jesus out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, so that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. They couldn't even throw Jesus down over a cliff because he walked so much in love. He walked in the light, the armor of light. On another occasion, John 8:59 happened. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself. See, I thought that was amazing that Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. See, they couldn't kill him then either. They could not kill him because he walked in the light, and they could not touch him until his time was there. It is still working today. This is a neat story. David Wilkerson is the founder of Teen Challenge. He ministered to drug addicts and gang members in Brooklyn back in the 60s when it was one of the meanest places on earth. Now, see, this convicted me too, all right? One teenage gang member, Nicky Cruz, took out his switchblade and said, I am going to kill you now. David said, I'll tell you right now, if you cut me into 1,000 pieces, all the pieces of me laying here on the sidewalk will be crying out to God, I love Nicky. I love you, Nicky. I love you. Nicky, Jesus loves you. Nicky was so furious, and he tried to swing his knife, but as he did, something grabbed him by the arm, and he couldn't stick him. He said, I tried and tried and I tried, but I could not touch him. David Wilkerson was walking in love. He was walking in the armor of light, and the devil had no place in him. All right. 1 Peter 2:7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Every one of us sitting in here, if you're really born again, following Jesus Christ with all your heart, this talks about you. You were once a sinner, but you're not a sinner no more. You're now the people of God, covered in his grace and his mercy and his long suffering. Think about what it means to be in his marvelous light. Marvelous means it causes people to marvel. The manifestation of his marvelous light is an obvious and awesome display of God's glory. Say that again. Think about what it means to be in his marvelous light. Marvelous means it causes people to marvel. The manifestation of his marvelous light is an obvious and awesome display of God's glory. God's telling me to tell you all that he said, I'm fine. He did tell me that last night when I went to prayer crying out to him. He understands why I'm upset, and he's not holding it against me. All right, so you're sitting there thinking, wow, she's messed up. No, I'm not. I'm all right in God's eyes. Psalm 118:23. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Mark 12:11. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. In Psalms in the Old Testament tells that. In Mark, it tells us the very same thing. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. All right. To the unbeliever, such an occurrence would be a sign and a wonder. To the believer, it would be a miracle. No doubt to David Wilkerson, what happened was a miracle, him not being killed, all right? And to Nikki, his assailant, it was a wonder that caused him to give his life to Christ. You know, God says that the signs and the wonders are not for the church. They are for the unchurched. And he's saying the church wants to see signs and wonders, but they're supposed to be vessels of honor that he can work through, so the signs and wonders work through them. And we save the lost souls to Christ. The wicked one touches him not. 1 John 5:18 gives us key information about staying in the light, in that place of protection. 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. So get that through your little spirit man right now. Whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. I was reading an article, I forgot what the guy's name is now, but anyhow, he was talking to Derek Prince, is that his name? It talks about grace, and this guy who was talking to him, he's another pastor, he said he doesn't agree with everything he says, but he said he agrees with more what he says than what he disagrees with. But then Prince also, Joseph Prince is his name, isn't it? Yeah, Joseph Prince, he said that people take his teaching about grace and they take it wrong. And he said, I'm going to set the record straight right now. If you're a God, you do not sin. And grace isn't going to cover you if you're out there and saying you're of God and you're in sin. Grace is not covering you. Grace is to keep you from sinning, not to cover you while you are sinning. Amen. I was glad to hear him say that because I don't agree with everything he says either about grace, but that's all right. He's God's child. And I'm not talking about him. I just want to let you know that, he did verify the fact that people are taking his teaching of grace and they're turning it around to make them feel happy. He is not talking about human perfection. So I said, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself and the wicked one does not touch him. He is not talking about human perfection. He is talking about keeping ourselves in the love walk. Keeping ourselves in the light. All right? If you do sin, don't run from God. Run to him. Confess that sin immediately. Get right back in the light. That's why I like David. He only sinned one sin one time. He never did the same sin twice. So when he repented, he truly repented. It wasn't just the words running out of his mouth just so he could get covered by God. He truly repented, and he never did the same thing, sin twice. I see people saying, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry," and get right back and do it again. "Oh, God, I'm so sorry," and get right back. They do that 100 times, I know. It's best you didn't say nothing. Just say, "God, I'm really trying, so just stick with me till I get this thing right," right? Nobody can lay hands on you and just pray over you to get this done. You have to keep yourself in the love of God. You have to keep yourself over in the area of repentance. No one else can turn that light on for you. No one else can say for you, "Let there be light." You have to keep yourself in it. So don't expect your friend to help you. It's you and God. And God told me one time, he said, "Daughter, you need to quit trying to get everybody saved. Everybody's walk is their walk. It's them and me, not them, me, and you. It's them and me. They know the word. They know what they're supposed to do, but they aren't doing it. And you can't change things." Now, how many of you in here have been trying to change things? And we can't change things. You know, people are people, and they're going to do what they want to do. And all you can do is stand by and cry as they go to hell. Because they've been told the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to yield to the truth. And so we can't help where it takes them. Right? As you obey the commandment to love your father and your neighbor, remember also to build yourself up in the fact that you are born of love and he loves you. Lay hold of the confession of the Apostle Paul. So I said, as you obey the commandment to love your father and your neighbor, remember also to build yourself up in the fact that you are born of love and he loves you. You're not the only one putting out love here. God is putting love back into you constantly and continually. He's building you up. So you can give love out and you'll never get rid of love because God keeps pouring love into you. You won't die giving out love, I guarantee you. You'll die if you don't. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is in the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. This is the intimate working knowledge of the very words love himself has said. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they are love. If they wouldn't be so full of love, the earth would not have been formed. He would not have spoke light be. And we're supposed to be walking in that light continually. All right, I said this is intimate working knowledge of the very words love himself has said. We can put those words into our mouths knowing Jesus is as the high priest over them. We'll see that they come to pass. This is the power that has been restored to the born again man and woman. And when that power, when that light is working in the place and at the level it is supposed to be, when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When we lay hands on the dead, they will rise up. Let me say that again. This is a power that has been restored to the born-again man. And when that power, when that light is working in the place and at the level it is supposed to be, when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When we lay hands on the dead, they will rise up. When I was walking in perfect love with everybody, I raised the dead. The sick was always healed. Miracles were always happening. But when I let pain of what somebody was doing to me get to me and I started walking out the love walk, those things ceased. Are you understanding this? So if you want to walk in these miracles, then you need to get back in the love walk. You need to walk and get in that light. And then God can use you as a vessel of honor to work through. There's a really good prophetic word God gave me. It's going to be in tomorrow's bulletin. You please read it. All right. The devil cannot stand against believers who walk in the light like that. The devil cannot stand against believers who walk in the light like that. He can't touch us in that armor. See this, he cannot touch us in that armor. He has only one assignment in the presence of that light. He must flee. The devil has to flee when you're walking in that love and in that light. He has to flee whenever you have that armor of love on you, covering you totally and completely. He cannot stand. You know, I had to do deliverances on little Isaiah when I started. That devil says, Mom, please don't do that. Please don't say that. And then, you know, then it starts out really acting up and I keep on and it says, I'm not going anywhere, you know. And I just keep on praying the blood of Jesus. You know, I say, I love Isaiah. God loves Isaiah. Don't say that. Don't say that. And finally it leaves. But it can't stand it when we start pleading the blood of Jesus and we use the love. Can't stand that. But you know, see, this is, you know, we have to have that love in us. Or the enemy does not have to obey us. Are you listening? We have to have that love in us, or the enemy does not have to obey us. God is shining his light upon all of his people. But are we walking in the love walk properly where that light can take effect? I don't think so. I think the body of Christ has strayed away from the love walk. The prophetic word's really good. It tells you about what you can do about that. But I can't remember what I said. I know that I know that I know that everybody sitting in this room, you can perfect your love walk. But you're going to have to get out of sin. You can't have sin in a perfected love walk. You can't do that. You know, the Word of God says love covers all sin. And so when you're exposing somebody else's sin, then that's not love. You're exposing that sin, and that's out of pain and hurt. All right, I said the armor of light drives the devil out wherever we go. That is his destiny. He has to leave. And clothed in the armor of light, we are the enforcers. If we are clothed in the armor of light, which is love, then we are the enforcers, and the enemy has to leave. You know, we've been, you know, us, the leaders in the church have been saying, why aren't these things happening? Why is it we pray and the devil still comes in here and does his thing? Well, I like I told Brett and Nancy, I don't think we have our love walk perfected right now. I think there's areas in our love walk that we have to work on. How about you? See, we're honest. We don't care. Yeah, we're supposed to be helping you grow. And the only way I can help you grow is by being honest with you about my feelings. And I know that, I know that me being upset with people is of God. I know it is. Because these are people who know better. Aren't even going through deliverance. Or when they do go to deliverance, they go in there with an attitude that they don't really want to get rid of anything. And those people God's mad at too. And those are the people you're going to see removed from the house of God. You're just going to see them be removed because God is not going to have that. All right, we need to put everything else behind us and step into God's river of love. Come on, we need to put everything else behind us and step into God's river of love. One thing that's keeping me from stepping totally and completely into that river of love is the person that really bugs me the most is they were sent to me from the devil to kill me. He hasn't been able to kill me. But he sure has put me in a lot of misery. And I'm seeking God's face. How long do I have to go through this? And I still walk in love, though. Don't I, Brett and Nancy? Still walk in love. I'm still doing the things God's called me to do, but I'm really inside. You know how you do what you're supposed to do, but inside you're saying, you know, God, there has to be an end to this somewhere, somehow. So find out where the end is. The end is walking in total love. I know with me, I have to get a deliverance after the revival because I have to get that pain out of me that's been there over and over and over and over again. So it's, just probably tore my heart apart. But when I get that done, I now won't have any more problems. So what is it in you that you might have to get done where you won't have any more problems with your love walk? I'm being honest with you tonight. I wasn't planning on all this, but this is where God's taking me. What about you tonight? I would really hate to be the one that's causing me all this pain. I'm going to tell you right now because God said my enemies are going to pay and pay dearly because of their pain they keep inflicting upon me. But see, I feel like, maybe I'm too hard on myself. I feel like there has to come a place when people's inflicting pain upon me that doesn't bother me. Now, I know it bothered Jesus. I know it bothered Paul, and I know it bothered Peter, but I'm not Jesus, Paul, or Peter. I'm me, and I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want people to be able to hurt me like that anymore, you know? And I know God told me, you can't build a wall around your heart anymore because your heart has to be open to be hurt in order to be my servant. And I sometimes think I'm a little bit too hard on myself, but I'd rather be too hard on myself and go to heaven then act like be all lackadaisy and think, oh, everything just fine and go to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? And, if you're going to have a relationship, then by George, love the person you're with or leave them. Why do you want to stay with them and treat them like a dog? Why do you do that? There's something really warped in your mind that you want to do that. I had the devil tell me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay here and show you how ignorant I can really be and how much pain I can really cause you. Well, about the time I think there can't be any more ignorant, any more pain, it's more ignorant, more pain. The devil has no limit to what he can do to destroy you. Do you know that? So tonight, if you want to walk, undefeated, if you want to be able to have authority over the devil, then you're going to have to walk in the armor of light, which is love. And we have to love because God commands us to. But I really think that we need to get to a place, saints of God, that we don't love because God commands us to. Love just comes first place. You know, it's just something very, very natural. And it doesn't matter what anybody's doing to us, we still love them. Amen. I mean, that's a big, that, you know, and I watched when you was doing the balloons. You know, you'd be surprised what happens when you're running around here doing things. The devil manifests itself. He really does. Because, see, you're just all loose and you're not thinking about anything. And the devil's just manifesting himself and he's doing his thing. So, you know, what you need to really do is say, God, please get me free. I don't want to think I'm worshiping in you and I'm just, you know, not thinking about anything. And because I'm not thinking about anything, the devil can jump up out of there and use me as a vessel to do something I shouldn't be doing. And until we all get, you know, I've told my staff, you need to get a deliverance. If you don't get a deliverance, you're off the staff. And as a staff and getting deliverance, some haven't gotten deliverance yet, but as they've been getting deliverance, they're totally shocked at what's inside of them. Aren't they? And see, some people won't inspect their own self. And they walk around like they're all right, all that, and then some. You are really deceived. You're walking in total deception. If you're gonna inspect yourself, then inspect yourself and be honest about it. And if you have a problem, then get go somewhere wherever you can and get rid of the problem. No, don't go somewhere. Go to a deliverance team who knows what they're doing and get rid of the problem. You might go to a fortune teller or something, you know, and they might do all kind of things to you. But whatever you do, be free, get free so that God, so that love can work through you and God can use you as a vessel of honor. So the altar's open tonight. If you feel like me and your love walk is a little bit tainted and you want God to really reveal to you why it's tainted, and you want to have that solid, complete, hard rock love that God has. I mean, the hard rock by hard rock, I mean, the devil can't splatter it in any way, shape, or form. And God's going to meet you here at this altar tonight. Please let go of all the junk in your life. You know, the enemy makes you even believe your friends are your enemies, and they're not. I see that in this church over and over again. The enemy makes you believe that your friends are your enemies and they're working against you and talking about you. And that's not the truth. Your love walk's not right, or he couldn't make you believe those things. We can't have signs, wonders, and miracles, guys, until we get this together. Some of you in here tonight, you have issue of unforgiveness. You're going to have to get that unforgiveness taken care of right now at the altar tonight. Because you can't walk in the true love of God if you have unforgiveness in you. Let's just get it all right tonight. Come on. That's what revival is all about. It's about getting it all right. Getting it all together. Being who God's truly called you to be. A vessel of love and a vessel of honor. My children, I want to say this to you this night. Do you not know that the path of love does not have grooves in it? You want to know why? It's because that path is not walked very often. My people walk every other path but the path of love. I wished there was a groove in there so deep that it would be ankle deep when you walked in it, but it is not. It is smooth, not worn at all. And I am asking each one of you in here tonight to make a covenant with me tonight as you lay out before me that you will get on that love path and you'll stay on it and you'll walk it out and that you will continue to walk that love path until I come and take you home. Love is the real foundation. love for their brethren, love for the lost and the dying, love for the homeless and the downtrodden. It's all about love. The earth was created out of love. My son Jesus died because of love. The Holy Spirit came because of love. I'm asking each one of you to be a vessel of honor that I can pour my love into so you can take it to the nations. You will have to forgive those who have wrongfully abused you. You will have to say, Father, you know what you're doing. And you will have to love unconditionally. I know that things aren't the way you want them to be. And I know you never expected to have this heavy assignment. But someone has to carry the burden for those who are lost and dying and going to hell. I have placed that burden upon your shoulders, but I've also placed love deep within inside of you, so the burden will not be burdensome, but it will be light because of the love that you pour out of your innermost being. I'm asking you tonight to be vessels of honor, that my love can flow through. I'm asking you tonight to stand under that my rainbow of promises and receive all that I have for you this night, and love, 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 love unconditionally, and walk forward into my path of love, and don't look back. What if I never take the thorn from your flesh? Will you still love? Remember my servant Bob Jones, when he came to heaven and spoke with me, I told him to ask the people, did they learn to love while they were here on this earth? And no, not many of my children have learned that. But I have given you my word about love tonight, and I'm expecting you to study it, and I'm expecting you to expound upon it, and I'm expecting you to become vessels of love and honor for me. You want me to love you with an everlasting love. You want me to love you when you're unlovable, so why can't you pour that out onto somebody else? Take a stance. Stand on that love foundation and make the enemy flee on all sides. I'm also hearing God say, when you learn to love, a torrent of blessings will come your way. It will be blessings that you will not be able to contain. They will come from all sides. They will come from places you've never even thought about. But it's only as you learn to love that these blessings can be poured out upon you. Strive for love at all costs. Stay the course.